Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Honey, We Need to Chat.
Thank you.
It's the second episode.
It is. I'm not going to lie. I can see myself in that camera there, and I'm very aware of my legs because I'm wearing shorts.
So you're going to see lots of.
Well, if I lift my legs at a funny angle, you're going to see right up there. So I might move this pillow. There we go.
Don't swallow. Note to self, don't swallow really loudly in this microphone. Got some ASMR, unwanted ASMR. I would want it, but Blair wouldn't.
All ASMR is unwanted.
We don't agree on ASMR, but that's...
This is something that communication cannot fix.
Well, this is our second episode. Our first episode was legitimately total improv and was really fun, and we've learned. Yeah,
I loved it.
Yep. We've learned, we've edited it up, and now we're excited to try to work on it and grow from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So thank you for listening. We're really excited to be bringing you this. And today we have a theme. That's how prepared I am.
Oh, hey.
I have a theme for stories.
You got it.
The theme that I have, the theme that I have is boundaries. And as last episode, we'll be reading through some stories about boundaries in a relationship. Which is a bit of a vague topic, but...
And I have no clue what these are.
He's got no idea, so he's going to be reacting at the same time as you. Let's dive right into some of these stories.
Honey, we need to chat.
So, the first question is not specifically marriage-related necessarily. However, it is something you might have to encounter in a marriage. So the title of it is, My Parents Let Their Neighbor Take My Child to the Bathroom Without My Permission.
Oh.
So boundaries as in family boundaries you might have to navigate. So I need a parenting gut check. Would you be upset if your parents were watching your kid and let their neighbor, whom you don't know, take your kid to the bathroom instead of helping your child themselves? My two-year-old is mostly potty trained. The neighbor is female, same as my child. I feel like this is carelessly crossing a boundary, and I want to talk to my parents about not letting it happen again. I've had some aged friends say they think it's generational, but they agree it's not cool. I'm 35 and my parents are both in their 60s. I'd love to hear other opinions.
I think my first thing when you first said the title, I'm like, well, it depends on if they know, like, how well you know the neighbor. But the fact that they don't know the neighbor, I'll be like, yeah, heck no, to the techno. Like, no way would I be okay with that.
Yeah.
That kind of creeps me out a little bit.
Yeah. I think it could really easily and likely was be something super, super innocent with absolutely no thoughts weird about it from the grandparents or from the neighbor. And like someone commented in her thing, you know, could be generational as well and probably is to some extent. But yeah, I don't think that's appropriate.
Well, I think it's just, you know, stranger danger. Mm. You know, I think that's just so in our minds now with our kids, and I'm like, even with our neighbors that we know like a tiny bit, like, or even if I knew them quite well, I'd still be pretty weirded out about them taking my kids to the toilet.
Yeah, absolutely. And how would you navigate that as a conversation?
I think my mind is just going to, why would they not take the kid? You know, again, this is the issue, is like, there's so many gaps in the story. Like, why didn't they take the kid themselves to the toilet? Yeah.
I think if this was me and or it was my parents or it was one of your parents, I think it would be really important to come back to it. It's something you're feeling uncomfortable with and something likely that they didn't, you know, see anything wrong with for better or for worse at the time. But it's something that's really important if you're going to feel trust about having them watch your child and just kind of being on the same page as with where you are. I think it's really important to gently bring this up with them and say, I don't really feel comfortable with people that I don't know at all taking my child to the bathroom, especially since there's not really any reason why you couldn't have done that. You know, there's no reason behind it even. I think, yeah.
I think that's big too. You know, we're talking about we've been talking about the importance of communication in a marriage and in a relationship like this, but you still have a relationship with your parents. Yeah. Like the need for communication there is huge too. Like when we had kids, when we first had kids, we had to have conversations about mm-hmm. boundaries and expectations and all that, because we do parent different to our parents. Mm. We do have different priorities and different methods and whatever else. So, yeah, I think it's just as important. You know, I think the big thing is for a lot of people, unfortunately for a lot of other people, this isn't the case, but for a lot of people, the parents are babysitters. Mm. And we really value our kids, well, so our parents in our kids' lives and investing in our lives, mm. in their lives. So cross-generational investment into our kids. So I think being on the same page is really important.
Yeah.
And these conversations are really important.
Yeah.
So do I think that it's bad that this person's, like, do I think this person's overreacting? No.
No.
Do I think this is something that could be improved by communication? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I would be surprised if it wasn't.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's a nice low ball to start us off for the night.
Mm.
Get our little communication juices running. Okay. Second story. My 34 male girlfriend, 34 female, is having issues trusting me. I'm looking for opinions and potentially a general consensus. The issue at hand. We've been together for 3 years with no issues in the trust area, as I understand, until more recently. There may have been some minor doubts from her or I to her along the way. However, communicating has seemed to nullify these. A week ago, she went through my phone while I was sleeping, and now, a couple days ago, she paid for an internet search to see if I was on any other dating sites and confronted me about a listing saying I was on Plenty of Fish, which I was easily able to disprove when the forgot password generated no email to me. This behavior has upset me greatly. 3 years and this is what's to show for it? The background is my last three relationships have each lasted 5 years and were ended by me due to learning the other had cheated on me.
Hmm.
I have two children. I have an amazing IT career that I love and enjoy. She was in a relationship with the father of her four kids for roughly 15 years. There was lots of physical, mental, and emotional abuse and cheating. She ultimately ended the relationship. She is a daycare worker. With both of our backgrounds consisting of exes that have cheated, we knew there would be some issues in trusting each other. However, it came across to me that we've been good in expressing those insecurities and working through it. My hope has been that through time, insecurities would fade, not heighten. And now I see that 3 years in, it's heightening more, and I'm wondering what's next. I trust her. However, her actions show that this is not mutual. I know she's gone through a lot with her ex, and there is most likely damage that needs to be repaired. She has started counseling roughly a few months ago. She carries herself as generally overwhelmed by her life choices, four kids, single parents, scraping by. It is not uncommon to see that her kids stress her out or put her in a negative mindset. I attempt to assist with these items, but I can only do so much. So what do you think? What's your take and outlook on this? Thank you.
Do you think this is fixable?
By
communication?
Yes.
I think it is with help.
Yes.
Because straight up, like, you know, just hearing his history, hearing her history, like trauma mm. is massive. And like, I mean, you know how much baggage we've brought into our relationship, like our, you know, previous baggage, like, I haven't had anyone cheat on me like that. I haven't been in a physical, you know, abusive relationship or anything either. And yet my stuff still brought a lot of trauma to our relationship. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like a lot of baggage to that. And like I needed counseling, you know, and I think, yeah. So I think like, I don't think we can underestimate the impacts that past relationships and past mm-hmm. trauma can have on our future relationships. Yeah.
And one thing I'd say is he's saying, you know, that he had thought that time would make it better and he thought that they hadn't had any issues with trust. And I know for us, like you were saying with like our backgrounds and just like everything that people bring in, everyone brings in baggage of some kind from different places. And so when you start a relationship, you've got dynamics. And I think there is sometimes stuff that will simmer under the surface for some people. And this has been the case for me at times where I'll be like, you know, it'll be simmering there. I'm nervous about it. It's something that pops into my head every now and then. It's something I'm aware of, but I don't necessarily raise it with you. And it wasn't until maybe the opportunity came up or I felt more comfortable with you or something had shifted in our relationship that allowed me to share it. And then it came out. So I think it's, you know, him, I can understand how you're like, I thought we were in a good place. Like, I thought we worked through this stuff and now it's just come up. But I think it's also not, it's not unreasonable to have things that are kind of simmering under the surface that you're not aware of.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think in this situation itself, though, like being cheated on twice, being in a physical abusive relationship, like for 15 years, that's not really under the surface.
No, it's not under the surface. But if she's got insecurities that that have sat there, and especially if she's come out of a 15-year-long abusive relationship, it might have taken her a really long time to come out of the trauma reaction to that. And so for me, which I wasn't in an abusive relationship, but I have family baggage and history that it took me a really long time to settle into not having a trauma response, not having like a stress response all the time. And then when I did start settling into that, it's like my brain was finally able to be like, what do you think? What do you feel? And I could kind of explore different parts of it. And I feel like that might be the case with her. Like she could have gone into this relationship with her new boyfriend and kind of still been in that stress response because it takes a long time to come down from that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think my response to this dude would be literally, you know, what external help are you getting? Mm-hmm. Because his insecurities are flaring up.
Yeah.
Her insecurities are evident in the way that she's not trusting him.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be my first question. Like, what external help are you getting to help you navigate through that? Mm. I think a lot of times we put an expectation on ourselves that we can get through it ourselves. Mm. And again, like I was saying to Amy earlier today, like I really wanted to sort of share how I view counseling or professional help. You know, we go to the gym to get stronger. I think we have this bad stigma around getting mental health help for some reason. I think there's pride there or whatever it is. I'm not too sure. And I know it was a really hard thing for me to get into it and get that help, but that's really what it is. It's the gym for our mind. It's getting the tools. So it's essentially saying, you know, at the gym, don't lift it this way because you're going to hurt this muscle. Lift it this way. It's giving us the right tools to be able to process the situation that's going on. But also, man, like it has helps us get that bigger picture. Like, what am I really dealing with here? You know, what am I really bringing into it? Because like straight off, like counseling doesn't just address the face value issue. Mm-hmm. It goes deep. It goes really, really deep. Exactly. Yeah, man, I think it's really important.
Yeah. I think as well, like in this situation, they've both experienced some really yucky stuff. And he's specifically been cheated on. So he's in a good place to address this with her. He knows what it feels like to have trust broken. And so he's in a good place, even though he's probably triggered, to be like, okay, this is what I would probably be feeling if I was wrestling with the trust thing. So I'm going to sit down with her and say, can you help explain to me why this, where is this coming from? Is it something I've done? Is there something that's lacking from our communication or something that's lacking from our relationship that isn't helping you feel secure? And then also, how can we address this? Like, what can we put in place? Who can we see? And maybe even doing that with her, like obviously super aware of the fact that this is a really sensitive, vulnerable thing for her. And you know that firsthand because you've gone through it. So walking with her in that, in a gentle way, instead of getting defensive, which he's not necessarily seeming, but instead of letting your triggers and your defensiveness block you from being able to be open and gentle with her, knowing what she might be wrestling with in her head.
No, I think that's good. Like we've definitely, you know, from your previous relationships, you know, bringing that into our relationship and in how that's impacted you, I had been offended by some of the stuff that you brought into it and I would react offended. And I think something you did really well with was, you know, with me, with the things that I bring in is like, all right, help me understand where you are. So you try to, not all the time, but you like, I know a lot of times you try to remove the offense and really try to focus on me. And where that's come from. Because I think when we can understand where something's come from, it helps us to be able to navigate where to next.
Yeah. I think this is something that it's obviously a dating relationship, so it's a bit different to a marriage.
Mm.
And obviously when you're dating, you're weighing up a lot of things and you're navigating a lot of dynamics, and it's totally different kind of focus, I guess, in some ways to a marriage.
Mm.
Or it's at a different level.
Mm.
But I think this is something you can definitely work through together with open communication and, like you're saying, very importantly, counseling to start working on some of those traumas that you faced. Yeah.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Cool. Okay. Flying through. So fourth story.
Third
even.
Yeah. Let's go to number three.
So third story. What do I do about my girlfriend, 29 female, insisting that I, 34 male, go to bed at the same time as her, despite having different schedules?
Oh.
This is a conversation.
We've had this one. Yeah.
I haven't read the story in detail, but we've had this, so that's why I thought it might be a good chat.
Digs up.
Well, I, 34 male, and my girlfriend, 29 female, have been dating for over a year and have tried living together. She worked a night shift for many months until 2 to 3 a.m. So sometimes I'd wake up to her during the week, but usually I would be asleep when she got off work. I work about 8:30. I try to go to bed around midnight for 7 hours sleep. Then she got a job that started very early, like 5 a.m. She suddenly insisted I go to bed at the same time as her, which is around 9:30. The thing is, I've had insomnia my whole life. Sometimes I can't sleep no matter what I do. I've accepted that I'm more of a night owl because of this. I really don't know what to do. I try to talk to her about it. She seems to have times when it's okay if I can't go to sleep yet, and then other times when she just gets upset about it. I'll try to go to sleep with her, and if I can't, I'll get up to read or play video games or watch TV. Many nights this hasn't been a problem. Tonight I laid down with her early, tried to sleep for at least 30 to 40 minutes. I just could tell it wasn't happening. I got up and went out to the living room. 10 minutes later, she came storming out, furious that she has to sleep alone. I tried to get her to calm down, but she just left. If we had the same schedule, it'd be a lot different. I can't consistently get to sleep that early, and frankly, sleeping 10 hours a night is too much for me. I think she has some serious communication issues. I try to ask if she really thinks it makes sense for two people with two different schedules to sleep at the same time, and she avoids the question. She thinks this is unfixable. She says everyone she talks to tells her it's expected that a couple will go to bed at the same time. Do you agree? I want to know what those eyebrows are about, because I feel like I've been both characters in this story.
Yeah, I think I've, yeah.
And you've been both victims.
Okay, can you paint the picture for us? What was our story?
Yeah. Well, when we got married, I have always been a much later night person than you, for one thing. And when we started dating and we got married, you were working really early mornings, 4 a.m. kind of thing in trade.
But I would be getting up.
Getting up.
Yeah, I wouldn't be starting work at 4.
Starting your day very early. I don't know. Night times was just when I enjoyed hanging out, and it was when you needed to sleep and you became a zombie. And it was a little bit of a tense thing for us. But before we got married, I remember saying I wanted to go to bed at the same time, which was important to me because of my family history. And so that was a thing that we started, and I did go to bed at the same time as you at the beginning. Now.
No, well, that's not the way that I remember it.
When we first got married.
Well, because you got frustrated at me because I wanted to go to bed.
Yeah, I would get frustrated because it was so early.
Yeah.
But I would still go to bed with you at the beginning, I'm pretty sure.
Maybe I can't really remember the very beginning, but I remember it was a compromise we had to make.
Mm.
And it was something that was a real tension. It was a tense topic because we just both disagreed.
Yeah. It got different when you stopped working in trades a little bit because you started to be more awake at night times.
Yeah.
It was hard for me because that's the time I like spending time together.
Yeah.
But it was hard for you because your brain needed to sleep.
Yeah. So there's a number of things though. Like, so now is different, and we can get to now in a little bit later. But back then though, like, you would stay up very late. It wasn't just late. It was very late.
Like 2 a.m. kind of late. Yeah.
You just like sat up very, very late. So for me, like, I didn't have insomnia, and I never have. But when I struggled to sleep, I would really struggle to sleep. And I think there was two things that we had to work on. Well, there's a few things we had to work on with this. One, communication about it. We had to have the conversation, and it wasn't just a once-off conversation. This was for a while. We had to try and navigate it. And but two, how am I trying to get better at going to sleep? Like, how am I working on my sleep thing rather than it is what it is? Mm. Again, I don't have insomnia, so I can't, you know, say anything about this dude. But for me, and there's some things that that really helps me with my sleep too. Mm. But at the same time, like at the time, I felt this was a little bit unfair because I would be waking up. So I was a bricklayer by trade, and I would be waking up. It wasn't just a matter of waking up. It was a very, very physical job.
Yeah.
And I'd be exhausted coming home like after work. And then I was still had this expectation to stay up later. And I struggled with that because I felt like from your side, it was more about, but this is when I hang out. And from my side, I'm like, I need to survive. Like this is a like this is a topic about me surviving here. So I did struggle with that. I did struggle with that topic conversation.
I think it comes a little bit back to the love language thing.
Mm.
This is not their story right now, but for us and for me, it was quality time.
Mm.
And we were both working full time. So we would see each other around, you know, 5:30 or whatever
yep.
the time we got home and we'd have dinner. And then that's when I'm like, I want to like hang out. I want to spend time together. And by 8:30, you're like asleep, getting sleepy, and 9, you wanted to be in bed kind of thing. And that is unheard of for me at that stage. Unheard of.
2 a.m.
Like literally I'd be up for at least another 3 hours, if not more, on a normal day kind of thing. So it was a couple of things. I had to adjust my sleep, which was really weird. And I probably just sat on my phone most of the time.
Yeah.
At the beginning, I didn't want to do that. And then I just did. But also, I think without understanding it, it was impacting on my sense of connection with you.
Hmm.
And there's another layer to that too, which is really deep and much more intimate, which is when we've navigated where we like to spend quality time together at what time of the day, because that wasn't something we figured out till recently.
Hmm.
I really liked the idea of cuddling in bed. And Blair really liked...
Okay, yeah, we don't need to talk about Blair that. Really, that's not the conversation.
The idea of going to sleep. So.
Oh, okay. That's what you're talking about. Yeah, cool. I'm going to say something else. Well, but
maybe that'll come out later.
Yeah. What will?
I don't
know. No, but I get that now. Like, because I think a big thing was, and this is where we do keep referring back to the 5 love languages, because for us, that book and that, well, not even the book, I don't even know if we read it at first. We did the online course, the survey thing, and it really helped me to understand, like, why Amy was, like, why it felt like Amy was being so selfish. And what we realized was that Amy's tank was empty in that area.
Mm.
So it wasn't necessarily the time that I was going to bed. It was that before I went to bed, we were watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our time wasn't quality. And that was something that we had to really shift as well.
Yeah.
Was the time we have together, it's not just on our phones or whatever else, because that was really affecting you. And I think the same thing, and you know, I think this where this conversation should go is, why is it so important to you? I really don't like the phrase "because it's what's done." I just don't like that. I don't know if that's me trying to be rebellious and cool, but it's really annoys me, because I'm just like, no, I want to be intentional. Like, I want to know why I'm doing it. Yeah. The answer, it is what it is, or it's the way it's supposed to be, is just not a good answer for me.
Mm. I think there's a lot more conversation to have for this couple, and they're dating, and they've been dating for over a year, and they've tried living together. So I'm not sure how long that's been. But I think there's a lot of layers, like we just said, love language. How much time you're getting together. It's interesting that she was working later, so I'd assume their time would have been less before. Maybe she's enjoying the freedom of all of a sudden, oh, we could be spending time together.
Hmm.
Now I'm working. Finally, I've got the job that allows me to work at the same times as you. We could be like hanging out. So maybe that's a factor. I think there's something in here that he says, which is, I think she has some serious communication issues, that to me, I think maybe, you know, she probably does. But also, I would be really cautious going into a conversation like this, pointing the finger, which we talked about in the last episode, and we'll probably say every episode. When you're communicating about something, it's really easy to put someone on the defensive if you come in saying, I think you've got communication issues. Like,
Yeah. Full stop.
Full stop kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of, again, gentle kind of almost like exploring what is it that sits behind this for you? Why is this so important to you? And then exploring why it's really hard for you on the flip side of that. And I think 100% communicating through is like unpicking a knot, basically, like unpicking this knot that you've encountered could very much help in this situation.
Yeah. And we did come to the point too, like going to bed at the same time is special. You know what I mean? It is special. We're hit and miss these days. Mm-hmm. Like I've been going to bed earlier again still than you have been. I think just because I'm just a restless soul. Like if we're just sitting down watching TV, like I just fall asleep. Like I just get so bored and I fall asleep. So I'm just going to go fall asleep in bed. But and plus we've got a 10-month-old that will wake us up through the night. So I'm like, I want to get as much sleep as I can, even though you're the one that gets up
with him. But you do need that.
So. Anyway, there's another kettle of fish.
Yeah. I think the more I've settled into our relationship, the less it was an anxious thing for me that we go to bed at the same time.
Yeah.
It's a pattern and a special thing that we make happen. I'm not as, I guess, worried about us in that way. I think we could fall into a bad pattern of it.
Yeah, but I think again we're going back to. I feel like, and this podcast is a big thing for us as well, is that quality time that we have together, you know, and again, like that cup is being more filled than what it was back then.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Smash it again.
We're so good at this.
Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and you can email us.
The tube.
At honeyweneedtochat. On all platforms. honeyweneedtochat@gmail.com is our email address. You can contact us and submit questions. You can submit your stories. You can give us suggestions, constructive advice.
Outfit advice if you're on YouTube. I need it. Please
be
help.
Be gentle, please. Thank you. Yes, please email us, follow us, like, subscribe. And we would also love for you guys to share this podcast because our whole heart behind this is to create a community that is passionate about communication, basically.
And growing our relationships.
Exactly. Yeah. So please like, subscribe, share, all of those special things. Thank you. Okay. So this story, the title is Wife Has New Male Best Friend. I'm hoping someone out there can give me their unbiased opinion. This may or may not help me from going out of my mind. To begin with, I have been married since 2009, not 2019. I have been married since 2009. My wife and I have always been on separate ends of the emotional spectrum. She tends to be highly emotional, whereas I'm on the complete opposite end. Despite the differences, we have made it work well and kind of balance each other out. However, from time to time, it does create some tension. Over the past couple of years, my wife has attended a personal training group, which is great. She's always suffered from social anxiety, so to see her enjoying being around a new group of people and to witness the improvement of her mental health has been fantastic. However, it did not take long until she started spending time with a male friend from this group. As well as group settings, they meet on non-group days and train together alone for up to 3 to 4 hour sessions. This usually includes lunch, coffee, etc., so they end up seeing each other every day, whether in group or not. This also includes texts and phone calls throughout the day. I've questioned her about this and I've told her I'm uncomfortable with the frequency, not necessarily the fact that she has a male best friend. She has told me that they do have feelings for each other. They've discussed this in detail and have vowed not to act on it. Ooh. They recognize that it is natural that two people spending this amount of time with each other are bound to develop feelings. However, it's just whether they act on it or not that counts. This doesn't sit right with me. Just because you have recognized it and you've been open with me about it doesn't make it right or less hurtful. This male friend has the emotional personality traits that I don't have, so it makes sense that she's attracted to him and wants to spend so much time with him. But where does this leave me? I can't help feeling she would rather be with him than with me. Why wouldn't she, right? Is she better off with him? I don't want to stop the friendship, one, due to the improvement in her mental health, and two, why should I? If my discomfort isn't enough, shouldn't she recognize the problem and pull back? Over the past 6 months, this has put me in a depressed state, and if anything, it has put more distance between my wife and I. I can't help feeling that without this guy out of the picture, we cannot repair our marriage. I'm seriously considering leaving her, but we have two great kids to consider as well. Please help.
Heck no to the techno. Like, no way. That's like, this one actually makes me frustrated.
Yeah.
Like, Of course not. You know, I just agree with everything then. So with this story in particular, what she's saying, wrong. It's just wrong. Yeah. Like, I'm not a love expert, but that's wrong. Mm. Like, that is so bad.
It's naive.
It's
naive if you believe it.
Yeah.
And it's really horrible if you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no way. I just can't. I don't know what else to say. It's like, no way.
Yeah.
Remove all the extra crap and just go to the topic of, do you think I could have a best friend that was a female?
This is such a debated one.
Mm.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not because you can't be friends with females, and not that I couldn't be friends with males, but because to be best friends with someone is to have a really intimate friendship, really intimate relationship. And I think the only caveat I'd have for that is if it was already existing before we got married. If you already were really good friends with them, I totally understand that to just all of a sudden not be best friends with someone is really, that's just not how it works.
Hmm.
So I think naturally it just slowly starts to ease and it slowly starts to separate. And I've seen a few people that have had best friends of the opposite gender before they've been married to their spouse. And then after marriage, it's same as when you hang out with your friends, you spend less and less time as you kind of build your own family, less and less time with your friends. And it does, a lot of friendships do start to just kind of move off.
Hmm.
But I haven't seen it play out well.
Hmm. I think because I'm very late, it's very late here. I'm very late. So that shows you how late it is, is I can't speak properly, but I just want to be blunt. Hmm. Like, I'm going to try not to be. But I don't think so either. Like, I think you made a good point on, like, if you had a relationship with, like, best friend before we were dating and stuff, like, that's a trickier one to navigate. And I think that's one where I'll be like, okay, cool. But marriage, if we went to marriage, I would still say no. Mm. Even if you had the best friend before we were dating, in marriage, like, I don't know. Like, I see that as my favorite female, should be you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it might be different with that person. We might have a, history and whatever else, but like, I don't know. I feel like that's the role that you're supposed to play is my favorite female. So I would struggle with that. If I wasn't your favorite male, like, I would struggle with that. I think I would get jealous.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't want to, but I think I actually would get jealous, be like, oh, I wouldn't. Like, I want to have that with you.
Mm.
Like, I want that relationship with you. And I think I would compare myself.
Mm.
You know, like, why can't we do that? What aren't I doing enough? Like, all that sort of stuff. Mm. I think I'd really struggle if you had a best friend that was a male.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think it's okay for you to have friends as males. Mm-hmm. And you've told me about this, said this to me too. Texting females.
Yeah. We have our boundaries with what we will do with people from the opposite gender. And that partially was largely, and would have been the case anyway, but it was spurred on by the fact that you were a pastor working in a church. And it is so important, as if the whole world knows, to be just way above board.
Yeah.
Anybody in leadership, that's important for, especially when you're in a situation like a church. So we had really clear boundaries from the beginning because of your role and because I think every family, every couple should have conversations about boundaries. That's what this whole topic is. It's boundaries, putting boundaries in place because everyone has boundaries and it's important to know where they are, what's healthy, what's not. I think there's a huge, big gray spot, and that's why it's easier to have, in my thinking, easier to have some more hardline rules than it is to be like, oh, where's the kind of like, the gray vagueness on the spectrum here. Where does it become an inappropriate relationship? That's a hard thing to say because for the most part, I'm going to say 90% of friendships wouldn't be inappropriate.
Mm.
And even this story, there was a point where this friendship probably wasn't inappropriate. I think 905,000%, the moment you realize you both have feelings for each other, it's become inappropriate.
Get it out.
Like that's
Get
not,
it out of there.
Feelings are one thing. What you do with them is another 100%, but spending hours
Every like what, three, four hours a day?
Every day.
And text each other and stuff? Each other. Nah.
That is not doing the appropriate thing.
Very
dumb. That is like temptation city. If nothing's happening.
There's gonna be that's the thing is you can't have that relationship without flirting. Like, no. You know what I mean? And that's
if you already have feelings, that's impossible. So that's a big red like boundary right there. But the thing is that starts somewhere, and that's one of the reasons why we've had the boundaries we have had, and what Blair was saying with like the texting thing. When you obviously you're gonna text males and females, like there's casual things, friendship things, lighthearted things, like organizational things. But when you start to share emotional intimacy with somebody, it is a really slippery slope to pulling that back. And especially if you're in a place where that emotional sympathy, that emotional intimacy is not healthy within your marriage.
Mm.
If they don't have a great emotional intimacy because, you know, they're so different or whatever, it would be so easy to fall into a pattern that is unhealthy with somebody else that does resonate more with how you work and that kind of thing. And I just think so many lines were crossed to get to the point that they're at right now.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important to be so clear up front before you're in the midst of it, what's appropriate and what's not, and then help each other to stick to those lines. So right now, hopefully she's open to listening to him. I hope.
Well, it sounds like they're not, because remember he said that. So I think can communication help like fix this? I think with help.
With help, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, with willingness and help on both sides.
Yeah.
And I think he is more than valid to be concerned.
Absolutely.
And to be putting some very strong things in place with this, because it's been proven that that's not going to be done on her part.
No.
So it's really disappointing, and that's really sad. Just to be clear, there would be some very good guy and girlfriends that have absolutely none of this mixed into the mix, and that's probably where it gets a bit of a touchy subject. Some people feel very strongly that they should be able to maintain their friendships with men and women after they get married, and that's totally fine. That's their journey to walk. I think personal experience really plays into it as well, depending on what your background is and a whole bunch of things. But it is an important thing to be on the same page about in a marriage. I also want to just say quickly, I think one of the biggest issues is that the definition of what a best friend is different for people.
So yeah.
Like you said, you should be the most important man to me. You should be my favorite man. And I think there would be lots of people that'd be like, oh, this is my best friend. It's not really, they're more special to me than my partner. And that's probably where the vagueness and confusion comes in. But that's, again, why it's so important to be super clear. Yeah.
I feel so positive now. So
positive and uplifted. One last story.
Yeah, that's good.
That's so quick.
We don't have to go for it. We don't have to go for 2 hours.
No, one last story. We've done well. This story is, I, male 25, feel suffocated by my girlfriend.
Tell me about it, brother.
Female 25. I, male 25, and my girlfriend, female 25, have been together for a year and a half. Every time I wanted to go out with my friends, my girlfriend has a set of rules that I have to follow, like I have to be home by 11, even though I go out at 8 or 9.
Sorry, just keep going.
She also sets a time intervals at a maximum of 30 minutes that I must text her or I will get scolded when I get back home. Even when I'm at my home, just eating, showering, and spending time with my family, the interval rule still stands. So they have to text every 30 minutes. Also, these people are in a long-distance relationship. I don't know if they mentioned that.
Oh, no, you didn't mention that.
They're in a long-distance relationship, so she's not with him. These are her rules for staying in contact.
Oh, wow.
She's also blaming me for not texting her because every time I said that I need space, she said it's because I don't care about her and I don't love her. But to be fair, I did play games usually from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. and not talk to her. And by the time I do talk to her, we are both sleepy and we only talk for a brief moment. So what can I do to improve our relationship? P.S. is a long distance relationship and we do FaceTime almost every day. I don't see my friends that often, only like once every 2 weeks.
I think I can hear a baby.
I think so too.
Let's have a baby break.
Okay.
Okay, that is sorted. Baby has bottle. I don't know, straight off the bat, I'm like, that sounds like an unhealthy
dynamic.
Yeah. I don't think that's healthy at all. I think, like, you know, long distance, man, that's going to be hard. How long were you in Canada for after we got engaged? 2 weeks. That was bloody hard. Mm. That was very hard. And it was only 2 weeks. Mm. But we did just get engaged. But still, like, I couldn't do long distance. That would just be so hard. I don't know. I don't know what to say to that. I think it's quite unhealthy. I just don't think. Can conversation help this situation? Absolutely. But again, it's coming down to where do her insecurities lie? Like,
yeah.
Does she fear because they're so far a long distance mm-hmm. that he can get up to stuff and whatever else? But I don't know. Like, if they want it to work, the conversation needs to happen. And like, how do they work through that? I don't know. This one's a hard one for me.
Mm. I've been long distance twice with previous boyfriends. And it's really not fun. This is unrealistic and unreasonable expectations on somebody, in my opinion, to have those kind of rules. But when he said, I do play games usually from 6 to 9 and I don't talk to her, and then we're sleepy by the time we talk kind of thing. It did make me think, I wonder how often she's getting the sleepy side of him. I wonder how often she's getting the last bits, the dregs, the last bits, the bits that aren't the best, like his not best bits kind of thing, his not best focus. Because I remember times where I just felt very much not the priority, which is okay because you're not always going to be the priority. But if it's a consistent pattern, it can make you feel a little loopy and can make you feel a bit controlling, and that can come out in different ways, or a bit like frantic almost, and that can could come out in controlling things like this, which are unreasonable and not fair. So I do wonder if there's something going on there. I wonder how much of his best time she's getting. I think long distance is really hard, and I have seen some people thrive and survive in that, not long term obviously, but yeah, it's really hard. It's going to have a whole bunch of different dynamics you have to navigate. And I think if you are not communicating super, super clearly, you are not going to work. That's just like, if there's ever a time where communication is the only thing you can hold on to, it's long distance, which it can also be beautiful because it forces you to communicate. But I think, this is unrealistic. It's unreasonable. I think there would be conversations you could have around why she's so worried about these things. Why does she need these touch points all the time? Is there something else going on? Like, she feels like she's not getting the best of him, or she trusts the curfew thing, for example, being home by 11, why it matters to her what time he's home at nighttime if she's not there is very strange to me. So I'm wondering if there's a trust thing going on, like she thinks that he's doing something that he shouldn't be or something like that. So not impossible, not healthy. That's for damn sure. But can be worked through with communication, I think, depending on the people and how willing they are to work on it. But not a place you want
to
stay.
I think the thing that my mind goes to, and this isn't, I don't know, you know, I'm going to say it, but I don't know, is like just that he doesn't spend much time with his friends and stuff. And like you said, like, you know, I fully agree, like the priority sort of stuff. My mind goes to, because I know of relationships where someone's been isolated, like the other couple isolates them.
The other partner isolates
them. And that's very unhealthy.
Yeah, very manipulative.
Exactly. So I feel a little bit of that from her.
Yeah.
Again, one-sided, but I feel, and that's just dangerous territory, I think. That's not good. It's not healthy.
There's one thing that is not always going to work, just to be really clear. Obviously, it doesn't always work, but it came to mind because he's still living with his family, it seems, because he spends time with his family at home. Asking the people that know you well and love you well, that's why it doesn't always work, because sometimes your family don't love you, right? But if you have a family that's supportive and knows you well, asking them their opinion on these things can sometimes be really helpful, because it's like, and it's painful and not fun to hear, but they could probably see things that you can't, and might be, you know, really valuable insight into the situation.
I watched this other podcast recently. It was by a lecturer, and he was talking about when he gets these new ideas. I won't go into that because it's going to be a ramble. But essentially, what he's saying is that when he's got a new idea, he doesn't just give that idea to 3 people for a review. He actually gives it to 10 people for a review, because the 3 people that you go to could be either all like you. Like, the chances are that they're going to be more similar to you are a lot higher than if you go to 10 people. It doesn't have to be that exact number, but like if he goes to 10 people, then he's actually got quite a broad and clearer feedback process, because it's more people. It's more people having a say into it. I mean, you might not feel comfortable with speaking to 10 people that you know about it, but...
But the concept.
Concept.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
We're the best couple.
That is not what we believe, just to be clear.
But we're going to say it.
So, yeah, there we go.
We made it.
We made it. It's late.
What time is it?
Almost asleep.
It's nearly 11. We underestimate how long it takes us to set up.
If you could see the setup, you would laugh.
It's amazing. We've got a camera hanging off a chair. We've got a light hanging off our fan. We've got another camera that's like propped up by iPads. And
yeah.
Yeah, and I've got short shorts.
Yeah. But we're living and we're learning. And next time we'll be quicker.
Yeah.
And we'll start earlier and we won't be so tired.
I'm looking forward to another stand for my microphone. My hand cramps up.
And we're getting different stands, so that'll be really good. My hand's really crampy as well. But yeah, now we're going to go get ready for bed, have an argument about who's going to go to sleep first, who's going to bed.
Get our daughter from the couch. She woke up earlier. Yeah. Put her to bed.
Real life stuff. But thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, this has been Honey. We Need a Chat.
Yeah, we do.